Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
All right, well, this morning, I want to dive in. We've been spending some time talking about our Grace family, and I love that the first week we talked about my Grace family is graceful. It seems kind of silly to put that in the name, but that's the truth, is that it's not just the grace that you and I know, that the world knows of just being saved by grace, but no, we are graceful, full of grace. As Pastor Clark once said, he wanted the saying of the church to be, "We're full of it," which I think he was onto something. I think we missed an opportunity, but he wanted to put that on the billboard. We're full of it, and we're graceful. Okay, that is who we are. We looked at Melchizedek and we looked at Sodom. We talked about how when coming into contact with the favor or the grace of God, it causes us to give generously. Abram gave generously, not because there was a law, not because there was a rule, not because there was anything. In fact, if you really look at it, he gave it all away. He gave 10% to Melchizedek, and then he gave the rest away to Sodom. He said, "Look, I don't need this." It wasn't being done out of any other obligation other than just the heart's motivation, right? Melchizedek didn't need the money either. No one needed the money, but it was just a blessing for a blessing. It was just Abram responding to grace, responding to the blessings of God, responding to seeing him in this moment. He gives away everything. So we talked about this heart response that Abraham had, and the question was asked to us, well, what is your heart's response, right? As you have encountered this thing we call grace, as this person of Jesus, what is your response to that, right? And I know what it is because it's the same as me, right? And it is to be gracious. It is to be generous, as we looked at last week. Pastor Clark last week shared about being generous. My Grace family is generous. I love that God not only supplies our needs, but then he gives us seed to go sow. And I love the fact that I get to go sow. I mean, you ever think about some of these things? Like, God, you've involved me in the process. You've involved me in being able to go out and bless others. Like, it's just amazing to me. So God not only meets our needs, but he gives us the seed to sow. We looked at under the old way of thinking, under the old covenant, right? There were actually three different tithes, which some believe it summed up to about 23% of your income, okay? So actually it was more than just 10%. It really averaged out to about 23%. And instead of giving to get, which is what we did under the law, right? You gave so that you would receive a blessing. Yeah, okay, there's obligation there too, but we gave so that we could receive. Under the new, instead, we have everything. We have no need, right, in him. Right, Peter says he gives us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Like he gives us everything that we need. And so under the old we gave to get, but under the new we give because we have. It's a part of our DNA to give. So yes, my Grace family is graceful, and my Grace family is generous because we give from what we have. Look at Matthew 10, 7 through 8. And this is where we're going to spend some time this morning, because the title of this message is My Grace Family is Giving. We're graceful, we're generous, and we're a giving people. And I want that to be the culture that everybody speaks to, is that we are a giving people. Matthew 10, 7 through 8, I love this passage. "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." I love this. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is one of those moments where words don't quite translate the same way into our language. So when we hear that, when you read that in scripture and you see that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, I don't know, my first thought, it was always, okay, it's here. He's brought it. It's now, I don't know, it's intangible. I don't know, when I was younger, I didn't understand this word. It doesn't make any sense. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. The kingdom of heaven is near. Okay, what are we talking about? Well, when you look at the original language, this is what we get. It comes from the word entos, this word in the midst. And actually it comes from this word, which means within or inside. Now stop for a moment and just think about how absolutely scandalous what Jesus was saying really was. See, to say to somebody, hey, the kingdom of heaven is nearby, okay, well, that's pretty cool. Maybe it's Jesus. Did he bring the kingdom with him or something? Like, how does this work? Instead, no, Jesus is not saying the kingdom of heaven is on the way, it's here around you or whatever. No, he's saying the kingdom of heaven is actually something that's born within you. It's from inside. Do you see why now, to the people that were expecting a government to come into play, they were expecting the kingdom of heaven was going to come and liberate us, the kingdom of heaven was going to come and set us up as an authority on the earth, and instead Jesus is going, no, it's none of those things. Actually, the kingdom of heaven, you're going to find out, it's inside of you. It's a spiritual reality, not a physical one. And so, preach, the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. Repent. In other words, change the way you're looking at everything. In the flesh, we don't relate or understand anything correctly. He's saying, look, you've got to repent. You've got to stop trying to see and understand here and instead experience here. The kingdom of heaven is here. It's within you. So we preach as Paul once did, saying that we have this treasure within earthen vessels. Do you ever just sit there and think about the treasure that we have? In those moments in our lives where we see all the needs, we see all the wants, do you ever just stop and think about, hold on a minute, the kingdom of heaven is within. I have this hidden treasure within me. And what comes with it? Heal the sick. What comes with it? Raise the dead. Which, by the way, these things, we often just think of them in physical realities. I like to think of them in spiritual realities, right? Heal the sick. That can mean a lot of things. Raise the dead. Oh, I've been risen from the dead. I understand what that feels like. Here's Jesus saying, go, here's what comes with the kingdom. Here's what comes from a kingdom within is heal the sick, raise the dead, go cleanse the lepers. And boy, we could spend a whole morning on just that. Cast out demons. Peter says that God has not withheld anything. And so from this place, Jesus is saying, he says, freely you have received. Now think about this for a moment. Freely you have received. Okay, that's such an understatement, Jesus. That's such an understatement because what we're talking about is the equivalent of, imagine if you, like I always picture Willy Wonka, you know, like the moment where like, again, cartoons. I always picture, you know, here's little Charlie Bucket, you know, and he's walking down the street and he looks down in the grate, you know, the original Willy Wonka, like the Charlie and Charlie Factory is the best one. But anyway, he looks down and he picks up the golden ticket, right? And that's how I always see this, is that when Jesus is saying freely you have received, it's not that you've just received any old thing, it's that you have a golden ticket. Like you have the most rarest of gifts on the planet. You have everything freely. You have won the lottery. You have won gajillion dollars. Like you are set up forever. Like you have won freely. You have received. He's talking to his disciples and he's saying, look, you guys don't even, you can't even fathom what you have yet. You don't even know. You didn't even know you were going to receive something. And instead, in this time here, from this place of abundance, right? Jesus is, he's speaking to them. Later in John chapter 17, he goes, Father, I've sanctified these that you've given me. I've sanctified them in the truth. I have set these apart through the constant sharing, through his constant ministry, through the truth, right? I've sanctified them in the truth. Here's Jesus, the truth, sanctifying us in himself. And so here he is with his disciples, giving them daily bread, if you will, saying, listen, from this place where you have received an abundance, where you have freely received, it is from the place of abundance that you give abundantly. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely from this place of absolute abundance, go give. And I love that Jesus is not talking about money. He's not talking about money at all here. No, he's talking about blessing. He's saying, look, as you have received all things, go give. Go give from that place. Go give. You know, there's the old, you know, the Bible verse talks about casting your crowns at the feet of Jesus. I finally understand that. Like, this week I had something happen where I finally understand this concept of casting our crowns before Jesus. I went to the dentist office this week and sat down in a chair, and I cannot wait to cast a crown. And I did not know I needed a crown until I sat in the chair, okay? It's a really bad day, and so I do brush. And so I was sitting there, and... I sit down in this chair, and I'm thinking I'm getting my filling fixed. Okay, by the way, let me tell you just a real quick story. I did some dieting over January, and so at the end of that, I was like, okay, I'm eating a cookie. Like, cookies, I just pray in heaven if there's one food, it's cookies. Like, I have a problem. I'm really obsessed with cookies. And so I had saved over the course of January, there was some cookies that Leslie Chambers had made, and she offered them to me. I could not eat them, but I said, I will again someday. And so I put them in a plastic baggie, put them in my freezer, cookie in the freezer. All right, so I pull the cookie out. It's a little bit frozen. Now, my freezer's not the best, so it doesn't freeze all the way. And so bit into it, broke my tooth. And so... Cookies, you have betrayed me, you know? Like, I felt so betrayed. So I go to the dentist, I sit down in a chair, and I'm going to get my filling redone. And then I get, you know, the lady comes over and explains to me how much this is going to cost me. And I'm like, for a filling? What's happening? And she's like, no, sweetie, you're here for a crown. And so I'm sitting overwhelmed in this chair realizing that I just got hit with a ginormous bill that I had no idea I was going to have to pay and did not know how I was going to pay it. Anybody can relate? Anybody? Okay, great. And so I sit there in the chair, and I'm just kind of contemplating, like, Lord, I guess you will help me out here. I don't know. And the dentist comes over, and he sits down next to me, and he says this. He kind of talks real quiet. He just wanted me to hear, and he goes, Jay, I want to tell you something. He goes, a couple weeks ago, I did some work for somebody out of charity, just out of the kindness of my heart. Now, he's a Christian man. He's an awesome guy. And he said, I did some work for somebody here recently, and they had no insurance. They had no money, but they had some dental needs, and so I went ahead and just helped them out. Well, this woman who he helped apparently did have dental insurance, and she didn't know it, which I don't know how that happens. But anyway, didn't know. And he goes, listen, I got a check in the mail that I didn't expect. I was blessed by that. And he goes, I want to bless you. And he goes, I want to pay that forward to you. Okay, so here's this moment. Now look, when I preach on different things, you know, here at the church, I don't know why, but God typically always gives me an opportunity to see if I really believe it or not, you know? And so, like, I'm never going to preach on anger, really, because I don't really want that. But here's a moment in the middle of a series where I'm saying, look, we give from a place where we have been blessed, right? It's not a guilt motivation. It's not a twist your arm to give some more money away motivation. No, it's I've been blessed and I just want to bless. And this is literally what he said to me. He said, I was blessed. I want to bless you. I'm sitting in the chair, and I wanted to grab him and go, you just spoke the words of God. Like, you have no idea. But that would sound like I really wanted him to pay my bill, so I was, like, not going to do that. But I was so thankful for that. And so what is my motivation? Well, my motivation is all week long I've been looking around for someone to bless, too, and you're raising your hand. But it's part of us. It's part of who we are. It's part of our DNA. Don't resist it. Don't allow your flesh to get involved in it or bury it, right? Or bury that desire. We bury it for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes it's just because I want to give, but then I look in my pocketbook and I go, pocketbook, what? Anyway. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. It's a moment. Anyway, I opened up my wallet, and I don't even have a wallet that does that. Anyway, so. I love you too. Sometimes I'll look to that and go, I can't give. I can't give. And the Lord's teaching me, don't look there. No. Come engage with me. Come talk with me about it. There was a parable that Jesus shared where people did some burying. There was a couple, three different gentlemen who got some money from a master who then they were going to go invest it. Well, one of them, as you know, takes the money and he buries it underground. I just love that. Like, were there no banks anywhere? I don't know, but like I'm a mattress or anything. Anyway, he buries it underground and the master comes back and you guys know the story. Basically what he says is, well, I know what kind of man you were. In other words, he misunderstood the type of master that he was dealing with. He thought he was a stingy man who would, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so from this place of misunderstanding, he buries the blessing. He takes this blessing that was actually given to him. He didn't know it was a blessing, and he buries it. And he buries it. Here's the thing, is that our master is gracious. Our master, our Lord, is generous. Our master is giving. But if you don't believe that about God, you will speak from your flesh instead. You will look instead somewhere else. If you don't believe those things spiritually, you'll be like Job and you will say, well, he gives and takes away. Can I tell you, how in the world did that phrase make it into a worship song? I have no idea. Like, you could not have a more flesh-based worship song than saying, my father, my loving father gives and takes away. I can imagine Adeline sitting there going, my dad gives and takes away. What a horrible thing to say about me, right? And that's not our Father at all. That was Job's perception of God through his flesh. I guess God gives and takes away. And so in the same way, don't resist this thing inside of you, this part of your DNA, and it's not just about money, it's about giving, it's a heart thing. Don't bury it. Instead, I was in kids' church one time, and I heard a message, unfortunately, that I had to correct. I can honestly say I think it was the only one, so I got to give myself one. But there was this one time I showed a video, and generally I previewed all of them, but I didn't preview this one fully, and it bit me hard. As the pastor on the screen said, he was telling the story of Samson, and we all know Samson's story. It was not really one of the most glamorous stories. And he shares this story, and then he says, if you don't use your talents for God, God will take them away. And I sat there just going, oh my gosh, if you even believe that to be true, why would you share that with kids? And so I had to get up there, of course, and told the kids, whoa, that's not true at all, you know? And it was fun. It was an opportunity to be able to teach the kids the truth. Well, we love the law. Our flesh craves it so it can break it. But the knowledge of good and evil, it's true, right? But the knowledge of good and evil is still a tree that we sometimes prefer. Tell us how much we should give, right? It's the question. Tell me how to be healed. Why have I not been healed? We ask these questions that really reflect our flesh. Our flesh wants to know things. We prefer a law that says 10% because that tells us we can get away with 90%. We love being told this is what it will take to please God. We love that. We love knowledge. And so Jesus takes issue with this. And he even talks to those who give out of abundance, those that just give because they have too much. He takes issue with all of this because he's looking at the heart of people. And scripture talks about the love of money, for example. Money speaks to value, right? We it's unfortunate, but we associate money with like how much something costs with how much something is worth. And Jesus takes major issue with this. He goes, no, that's really faulty thinking. And he says that the love of money is what? A root. And isn't this interesting? It is a root of what? Of evil. I've never seen this before, but it blows my mind. It's a root of the tree. The knowledge of good and evil. It is a root. This desire, this love of craving self-sufficiency is really what it is. It is a root from a tree that we no longer belong to. Let's read a scripture together that really, I feel like, captures this, because I think it's an incredible example of how Jesus handles this. Look at this in Luke 21, 1 through 4. And he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all, out of their surplus, put into the offering. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. We must remember in this moment, Jesus is looking at this woman, realizing his heart motivation is the same. He's about to give all of it away. He's about to pour out his entire life for all of us. And he points to two things here. Number one, that he didn't take issue with the fact that the wealthy members here gave money. That wasn't the issue. He took issue with their heart. They gave out of their surplus. There was no faith involved. There was no conversation with God involved. There was no need for that. It was just, well, I've got an abundance of money, so here, I'm going to throw money. He goes, look, that's not the motivation. And then he looks at this woman and he says, look, it's not about that she gave everything. That's not the key. We often think that's the key. Well, then what, should I give everything? Well, did the early church give everything? Should I? No, the issue was the heart. He goes, look at her heart. This last part says that she put in all that she had to live on. You know what that says to me? That she knew by faith God was going to provide more seed for her to sow. And so here she is giving all that she had to what? To live on, stating, this is not what I live on. I live on him. I live on following him. My heart motivation to give all I have is knowing he will provide more for me to give. That's our God. One group gave out of abundance and didn't need to trust God for anything. One person gave all she had, which reveals where her trust really was. Faith, God divinely persuading you and you responding in belief, you responding back going, all right, sounds good. That's the kind of life that we want to live. It's out of a place where we're not looking just
for God to provide our needs, but also, God, give us seed to sow. Lord, I want to sow into the kingdom. I want to invest my life for something greater than just existence here on earth. Instead of my resources fueling a self-sufficient lifestyle or pattern of thinking, God, I want faith. It's scary there. We're a giving people. That's who you and I are. We are a giving people who are called to a life of adventure that's really kind of scary to our flesh. You know, I was talking with Pastor Clark a little bit about this in the series, and we were talking about what would happen if the core support of our church wasn't there. Would I be able to preach the same message? Absolutely. Because the fun part in that is Lord, I don't know what you'll do, but you'll do because you're God. Right? So here's the thing. For you planning types, I won't make you raise your hand, but those of you that love checklists, you love to plan, you, and look, I like some of that, but for those of you that really gotta have it, like it's life doesn't exist, this is probably scarier for you because it's not making a list, it's not necessarily planning everything perfectly because it may change from moment to moment. For example, today God may say, listen, I want you to give 5% of your income, just whatever that is, I want you to give that. Tomorrow, God may say, give 20%. The next day, he may say, give nothing. It's confusing, but it's not confusing. You just talk to God about it. You just speak to him about it. And he may say something else. He may say, yeah, I don't want your money. I want you to go volunteer over here at this soup kitchen. You know, I want you to go do this. And that might hurt you more than money would. But do it because the Lord's leading you, and he's taking you on an adventure that will bring so much blessing into your life. As we pray about our family, this group in here, as we believe in him to meet our needs, listen patiently to that tug. Listen for his voice. Next week as we get together, don't give out of any other compulsion other than, Lord, I heard from you, and I can't wait to see what you're gonna do. Would you guys stand with me this morning? I'm really excited about where we're headed. I'm excited I get to do this with all of you guys. I don't know what the church is going to look like in 3 years. I have no idea, but I know one thing. I hope that we are known for being a gracious bunch. I hope that we are known for being a very generous bunch, a giving bunch, all those things. I can't wait as we invest in our house, as we invest in those of us that are joining our extended family all over the place. I just pray that we would all continue to do this together, that it wouldn't just be about a small few, that you wouldn't sit here feeling like I can't be involved because I just, whatever that reason is. Look, if you don't have the money, that's fine. Just come be involved. Come be a part of the family. Look, this is us. And I love being us. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you first are giving and you made us giving. That you first were gracious and you made us gracious. That you first were generous and you made us generous. Lord, I love being one of yours. And God, would you stir in our hearts what you want us to do in this season? God, as we approach the needs of the church and also the wants of the church and the dreams of the church and all that we have in our minds to do for your kingdom and to pronounce grace to the whole world, Lord, would you lead us and guide us in that? Lord, we don't want to do anything just because it looks good. We want to do it because you speak to our hearts. And so, God, I pray as we move into next week, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we would give from a place of excitement. And you would bless every single seed that's given and multiply it 1,000 times over. Let's worship together for a moment.